Joining us, a great celebrity, diehard Raider fan, tennis legend, and the great coach, Brad Gilbert, joins us on the official Raiders podcast. Brad, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Pleasure, buddy. Man, I tell you, I went through the dryer about three, spin cycles on that game Sunday, but amazingly, we finally started to figure out how to win some ball games.
What'd you think about this 5-0 on the road? Because Denver, we'll get to Denver coming in Sunday night, a nationally televised game, but to sweep Florida, Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay back-to-back was big.
You know what? I actually felt like we should. You know, we haven't been in this position in a long time. You know, you're playing teams that are below you. And if you want to be, potentially winning the division and making some noise, you have to win games like this. So they have had a good draw, of their five games on the road. But what I'm most happy about is, to me, seeing Jack Del Rio go for that fourth and four. You know, he played to win the game. You know, obviously we should have won it umpteen different times, but he's been in a couple of situations this year where he's played to win the game and not hoped the other team would lose it. So I was most pleased about that call and that play on Sunday.
Let's tie that again into tennis when you just mentioned the draw. As a player with your titles and with Andre, and back in the day, if you look at an easier draw, but you know in the semis or in the final you have Roger Federer or a legend waiting for you, you got to stockpile those wins early to get an opportunity. In football, it's an opportunity to get to the playoffs or an opportunity to play for the Super Bowl. So you like the way the Raiders are handling these winnable games on the schedule.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be good, you got to beat sub-500 teams. And a great question about the draw. I'll just tell you the biggest difference between myself and when I started coaching Andre. I liked getting a good draw. Man, I would get a little amped up. I would have to play a Sampras or an Agassi. Somebody that would lose, or a McEnroe. Somebody would maybe lose, and I would get an easier draw. I'm like, ooh, phew. When I started coaching Andre, this guy, man, he's like, bring on the teeth. He wants the toughest draw. He'd be pissed if Pete would lose. I mean, he wants to go. So, like, in a football analogy, he'd want to be going through New England. He'd be mad if they lost. That's the type of guy he was. It was like, that's why he had a lot more skill than I did. But I think to becoming a good team, not only do you need to beat teams like that, you need to bury teams like that. And that's the difference to being, where you're talking about winning a division, being in position to being a top two seed, to, getting a bye in the playoffs.
Tennis legend Brad Gilbert joins us on the official Raiders podcast. Where did it start for you with the Raider Nation and being a fan? Give us the backstory.
Well, I was born in Oakland. I grew up in Piedmont, California, which is diehard Raider country. I went to my first Raider game in 1966 as a five-year-old. And back in the day, man, you would see Raiders around, Oakland, the Bay Area, all over the place. And obviously when Madden took over, we had an amazing run. I was about 12 years old in Piedmont. I was over at Doc Albo's house, who was very good friends with Al Davis. And that's the first time that I met Al when I was 12. And Dr. Albo told him, this is Brad Gilbert. He's a really good tennis player. And he said, I got one question for you. You win. I was, I win. And then he looked at me and he said, I mean, you win a lot. And I said, I do pretty good. Okay. It was like, he was very specific about you win a lot. And I'll tell you another Al Davis story. 2001, the A's were having a good run. And they had these cool black, you remember the black lid with like the A?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the stands, coaching Andre. I come, into the locker room, and the next day, obviously I didn't think anything of it. I'm wearing the same A's hat, I'm a little superstitious. The locker room attendant tells me, Brad, there's a package for you. I said, a package in the locker room? And so I look at it. There's no name on it. It's just a box. Open up the small box, and there's a bunch of Raider lids. Must be 15 lids in there. And there's an envelope. I open up the envelope, and it says, I saw you sitting in the stands wearing an A's hat. Thought this would be a much better look. Sincerely, Al. I have no idea how we got that box to the locker room, but he wanted me wearing a Raiders hat. He didn't like me having that A's hat on. Maybe Amy Trask made it happen, but I'll still never forget that.
Brad Gilbert joins us. So with this team now, with the play of Derek Carr, and we're pushing for MVP. I know it's early. It's the halfway point. But talk about what it's like to watch him develop and make plays as a gunslinger and how quickly he's growing and maturing as a young quarterback in this league.
Now you want the coach in me?
Yeah, absolutely. I want the fan and coach in me.
I want to see the next 8 games. I want to see, believe it or not, way more control for the car. I like to call him the car. He's a nice car. Way more control of him over the offense. I still feel like that he has to wait for the play to come in and out. Way too often we're down to 2 or 3 seconds on the play clock. I'd like to see us. I don't believe we're anywhere near we've been in offensive capabilities. This is maybe even as much as that 2002 team that went to the Super Bowl. We got some serious talent. He's got amazing talent. I think they need to let him have more control and go more up-tempo and play a little more like New England, where their offense is trying to bury you, because we do go in stretches where it can be good, it can be bad, it can be conservative. I think with the talent we have in the receivers and in the backfield with Carr, I'd just like to see him have a lot more control. And we seem to play so much better, you know, in the fourth quarter, and sometimes too conservative in third. So I do think that is the next step. Let Derek take more control over this offense and let him have the ability to check down, to all of a sudden audibleize a lot more. I think this team is capable of consistently scoring 35 points a game, and I think we could legitimately, if that happens over the last 8 games, we can be a number 2 seed.
Tennis legend Brad Gilbert, the great coach who joins us, and diehard Raider fan on the official Raiders podcast. It's interesting because I agree with you. I think the more that you give to Carr, the more he can handle it. Now, let's go back in your career as a coach when you got Andre Agassi and had to rebuild him again and get him going again. What were some of the challenges? Because football coaches have to deal with veteran players, and the Raiders have a deep history, and you would know better than anybody, of aging players coming over and guys looking for that second chance in their career.
You know, the most important thing about coaching, it's funny, is Bill Walsh, the great Bill Walsh, came and watched Andre, sat next to me a couple times in San Jose, and then he looked at me a couple times. He goes, "I can't believe that you only have to worry about one guy. You know, I got 53, and I got all these different personalities," and it's like, and then he was like perplexed how I could just handle one guy. And I said, you know, the most important thing is you have to be mentally prepared. Some days you got to be a friend. Some days you got to be a disciplinarian. Some days, you know, you have to be able to find the right balance. And I'm not a type of coach that believes in my way or the highway. I think whoever you're coaching, I think it's really important to adapt to their style. And you have to learn to look through their lens and be able to make their dreams be fulfillable. And I think too many coaches see it only one way, and they need the players to adapt to their style. But what happens if you don't have players that can play to the style that you want them to adapt to? So whoever I'm coaching, and, you know, I started with Andre, I say things, it's a blank canvas. It's day one. Whatever happened before is not coming back. And if you are in a bad rut, I think that there's no point to harping and stressing about the negativity. It's what you can do moving forward. And I always say that, you know, if the player is in a bad rut and the coach, you know, gets in the bad rut, you're just two bumps in a log. So it's really important that you have to be positive. You have to be the motivating factor. And I also, you know, believe that you cannot get too up when you win, and you can't get too down when you lost. You've got to be a little more even keel, and you got to remember you're not playing the game. You're helping your player win the game, but you're not playing the game.
Brad Gilbert joins us. Let's carry that to Jack Del Rio and the staff. Jack from Hayward, now coaching the team, and even with the 23 penalties, he owns it after every game, win or lose. How do you like this head coach?
Believe it or not, I remember Jack from, he's a couple years younger than me. I'm 55, I believe he's 53. He was a legend at Hayward High School. My dad was a high school teacher at Mount Eden High School in Hayward for a little while. So that was like their rival. So I saw him, I remember him, you know, getting ink here, you know, because he was baseball, he was football, he was a tremendous player at SC. Obviously, this has been something that didn't just happen on Sunday, 23 penalties. This has been a reoccurring problem that I would, you know, and I'd like him taking the responsibility, but I would like to see it go even further that, you know, guys got to be held a little more accountable. If you make some of these childish mistakes, we got to be held accountable. And you know, you don't see this happening on Belichick's, you know, watch. And I do think this is something that we kind of have this mystique about it. We're the Raiders. We're tough. I love that. But we don't need to make, you know, the drive that put them ahead, four penalties, basically gave them 7 points. So that is a big challenge that they need to hold guys more accountable to, okay, if you're going to make a penalty that's egregious, we're going to have to sit you. Maybe sit you for a play. Or make them watch it, ask them to explain why this is happening. Because, I mean, you don't want zero penalties because then maybe you're not aggressive enough. But when you're starting to lead the league and consistently get 10 to 15 penalties, that's something that has to be addressed. And I think that's something that can be stopped.
We're wrapping it up with super Raider fan and tennis icon Brad Gilbert. Great coach, great player with 20 titles and reaching the finals of 20 other events. A great coach with Andre Agassi, also with Andy Roddick. Brad, I want to ask you quickly here before we get to Denver and what's coming up here. Television. You're a great television analyst. I think you could do multiple sports. I love when I see you on TV. And now the big backdrop to this season is television ratings are down in primetime. Is it because there's Thursday night football, Sunday? Sunday night does really well, and this Raider game with Denver should get a good rating. But what concerns do you have as a guy who works in TV and as a fan with this product going forward?
Well, one thing's for sure. You know, as a player, you can't worry about that. You got to play what's in front of you. And the multiple challenge for everything. Obviously, football has been in first place forever. I mean, they're the Microsoft. I mean, they're in first place all the time compared to every sport. But I do believe I watch a lot of sports. I watch a lot of games. And a lot of kids now aren't watching, you know, most kids don't have a TV, or you ask them what a landline is, and they're like, what are you talking about? They have a cell phone. They have a computer. So they're not watching potentially on things that can be, you know, Nielsen rated. And also, too, I don't think it's accurate about people, a ton of people watching bars or at other people's houses. So, but a lot of young people, 30 and under, don't have a TV. So that's one thing. And I do really believe they got to figure out, I mean, if you read my tweets, I just felt like on Sunday that was a typical game that was just hanky-happy. And I do think that the games are getting a little bit insane with the penalties. So they do need, and you hear a lot of people talking about that, they need to figure that out. And also, too, I'd like to see them be able to speed the game up a little bit. And somehow, you know, because of the younger generation wants to see, you know, a little more continuous play. I don't know if they can change that. You know, sometimes, what is it, go 45 seconds in a reset?
Yeah.
Maybe they could go 35 seconds.
Just, you know, pick it up.
So
just pick up the pace.
Up. But definitely, I do think that there's a hanky issue.
Great. Hey, Brad, as we wrap this up quickly on Denver, how important is this game? A lot of people are saying there hasn't been a home game this important since the 2002 season. This is a big one. Trevor Siemian is the quarterback of Denver, but they still have one of the best defenses in all of football, led by Von Miller.
Priority number one starts with the owner, Mark Davis. You know what? If I was coaching him, you know what he needs to do for this game Sunday night? Open up Mount Davis. There is absolutely zero reason why those 10,000 seats should not be opened up. And, hell, give them to kids. Give them to people. But I think they would sell them. I think right now is the time to open it up. And I think that priority number one is be a lot more dynamic on offense. We're going to have to win the game on offense. I'd like to see no huddle. I'd like to see a lot more up-tempo. And I think this is a huge game, and it's a statement game because, you know, 3 games ago, you know, Kansas City, here, this is a team in our division, and we were flat. I thought we didn't play up-tempo whatsoever in offense, and our offense lost us that game. So I believe that two things. Open up Mount Davis, priority number one, and go up-tempo from start to finish. Play with a sense of urgency that we're going to put 35 points on the board against Denver. Because if we can score against Denver, I don't think they can score like that against us. Because, I mean, they're not that dynamic on offense. But I think we have to win the game with our offense.
Nicely said. Finally, what does it mean to you, with all your travels all over the globe, to be a Raider fan?
You know, what's funny is everybody, even in media, in tennis, everybody knows my love for the Raiders. And it's one of those weird things that they love to rouse you when they've been bad. You know, they don't like to give you the love when they're winning. But you know what? I'm proud of Oaktown. And, you know, I'm born there. And, listen, seeing what the Warriors did the last couple of years was maybe one of the biggest joys of my sporting life. My son is 28 years old. He never saw a winner, not one. You know, he's so annoyed that, you know, the Giants have won three times, but he never got to see a winner. So that was, you know, we went to the 2003 Super Bowl. So his dream is to see the Raiders. Or he says, or like, in my lifetime, see the Raiders win the Super Bowl. See all of our teams win. But I think the Warriors, with their blueprint, you know, now this is the year the Raiders got to go 12-4, 13-3, and next year be ready. But it means everything to me. And if you notice, like on TV a lot, I wear black a lot.
I do notice that. Where can we find you on social media? Where can the fans reach out to
you? PG Tennis Nation. You know, I'm crazy on Twitter. And obviously I work for ESPN. I'll be in a couple of weeks. I'll be commentating from London for the World Tour Finals, which is a pretty amazing event. But, you know, the great thing now about a computer, if I'm gone, there's not a Raider, a Warrior game. There's nothing I'm missing. When I started traveling, JT, 1981, if you could get anything in 1981 other than Armed Force Network or kind of like a maybe some sort of a fax a couple days later, the world is a lot more connected. So I can get any game anywhere now. It's incredible.
Thank you so much for doing this. It's great that
Go
we
Raiders.
Can connect again. Take care, Brad. Thank you.